love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee.
Amen. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 33, Proverbs 14, verse 33, it says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. I kind of mentioned that one night, you know, sometimes it's better to keep our mouths shut. And I have a problem with that. I like to talk. But wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation. It lifts a nation up. And that's what our nation needs, is righteousness. And it'll lift. You know what? No political party would determine the success of the United States. Amen. Unless they include righteousness, the righteousness of God. It lifts up a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, to anybody. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. I believe that wisdom is important. Do you? The Bible states that it is. I believe that education is necessary. I'm not saying all education is good, would you? No, you can have the wrong kind of education. Y'all remember back in the day, and I've heard this most of my life, and when you talked about school, I went to public school. My sister went to public school. And it was quite a bit different than it is now. And in a small town like we lived in, it wasn't anything like it is now, especially in some of the larger cities. But I went to public school, and there were certain subjects that I enjoyed, and there were certain subjects that I despised. English I did not like. I hated English. I could care less about a preposition or a noun or an adverb or a verb or a conjunction. You know, I don't care what you, I don't care what they're called. I don't care in what order I put them. Have you noticed that? I don't care. When I'm up here, I don't care if you diagram my sentence or not. Don't bother me at all. But I did not like English. I did not like my 10th grade English teacher. She hated me. The feeling was mutual. And I didn't like doing all, I did not like chemistry. I took that one year because a lot of my buddies did. That's not a reason to take a subject. I had Mr. Ferguson. He was a crackpot weirdo. I guess it had to be to teach chemistry. But, he was a hippie. And I read some years later in his 60s, Brother Wilson, he got busted for dealing drugs. He put that chemistry to good use, didn't he? He's making them and selling them. But I didn't understand. I didn't care what the scientific term was for a chemical. I just know if you put peroxide on a wound, it'll boil it out, right? Yeah. And cleanse it somewhat. And I knew that mercurochrome was orangish red, yeah. Right? And it'll help heal a wound. You know, I don't know if they even sell it anymore. I don't know. But I didn't like chemistry. Now, I loved history, mostly American history, but I liked world history, too. Mr. Gerald Garris was my history teacher. He was a cool dude. He had big old pork chop sideburns. He was redheaded as could be. He drove about a 69 Chevelle SS 396, solid red. You know, and he kept a ping pong table set up in his class all year long. And some days we'd go in, he said, all right, I'm going to play you on ping pong, see if anybody can beat me. That's what I call history. Amen. He had a record player that he kept in his classroom. And we'd go in sometimes and he'd play old historical records. In 1814, we took a little trip. I know that's not a spiritual song. Brother Wilson can chastise me later for singing that in the pulpit. But it ain't as bad as some of the stuff y'all listen to today. Right. Ain't as bad as some of the stuff y'all heard at Walmart, right? Or at the restaurant or whatever. But I loved history, man. He made it interesting. One year, sophomore or junior year, first day of school, he gave us a test. You know what the questions were? Who won the NASCAR championship last year? That's my kind. Who won the World Series? That's my kind of history test, amen. But he taught us world history and American history as well. So I loved history. I loved general basic math. I still do. I still love figures. I enjoy balancing my checkbook. Do I not, huh? Every morning. I get online and go to our bank account and I balance my checkbook. I love balancing. If you got a checkbook that needs balancing, you don't like it, bring it to me. I'll balance it. When Pam worked at Piedmont Airlines Credit Union, pilots would be on the road all the time flying, you know, and they would never balance their checkbook. They'd come in there sometimes and hadn't balanced their checkbook in 2 years. You know, just in a different city, they weren't at home, they were here, there, and whatever. And, she would get it as close as she could. By the way, they charged them for it. But I love general math. I still see my math teacher, Mr. Delmer Hall. He's a good Christian man. He goes to church where I've preached at, and we see him sometimes at the Derby restaurant in Mount Airy. I don't know if y'all went there, Brother Dave, when y'all were in Mount Airy. You got to go next time. They've been open in the same place for 88 years. That's a pretty good record, isn't it? They opened in 1937. And the old Derby restaurant. You can go there and you can get grease galore. They got grease back there in the kitchen from 1948. That's what gives it all that taste, amen. It helps build up your immune system. You get bacteria from years gone by. But I see Mr. Hall, Pam and I said, and man, we talk and reminisce and talk about, I used to play paper football in his study hall. You take a piece of paper and fold it up in a triangular shape and use that for a football and you get one of your classmates on the other side and you hold this, that's your goal. And you kick from one row of chairs to the other while Mr. Hall is grading papers. You know, we played football. But I loved math. There were certain subjects that I loved, but there were certain subjects that I did. But education is important, amen. Education is. We need basic skills in math, reading, writing, and arithmetic. We need basic skills to survive in this world in which we live. I don't think they teach cursive writing anymore in public school. I don't know about in private schools if you ladies teach cursive writing or printing mostly. But they taught us cursive writing. And I still write most of my stuff in cursive. And, you know, they need to teach that to doctors. I've never understood. You say, if you tell me you don't have faith, I'm going to beg to differ with you, because you'll go to a doctor that you don't know, he'll write you a prescription that you can't read, and you'll take it to a drugstore that you don't know anybody, and you'll go home and take the drugs that they give you. Don't tell me you don't have faith in something. But education is important. And we have to have that base of education to survive in this world. But the wisdom that God is talking about in verse 33 goes far beyond the public school system or the private school system or the homeschool system. It goes far beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic. Far beyond that. That Bible right there that Brother Steve, I wouldn't take anything for the wisdom that God has in there, but I wouldn't take anything for the wisdom of the thoughts that my daddy wrote down through the years of his ministry and his preaching. And that's a gold mine. It is. When you get in there. And Brother Wilson was kind of astounded that about, seemed like every other page, my mom had wrote at the top of the page, "I love you," with an exclamation mark. You know, and Pam, she don't write, "I love you." She draws smiley faces in my Bible. You know, two eyeballs and a smile. You look at my Bible on here, there's smiley faces all in here. I don't know if she's laughing at my preaching. I don't know if she's laughing at my looks. I'm not sure what she's laughing about. No, she's just exuding happiness for the fact that she's married to me. No. What are y'all laughing for? But this wisdom that resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. And so I thought about, Pam used to tell me, she said, he never took a book home and he got straight A's. That's not, I'm glad she thinks that about me. Fact is, I went back and looked the other day, pulled out one of my old report cards from North Surrey High School just to see if I did get straight A's. I got a lot closer than I thought. I mean, chemistry I hated, so that year I had 3 D's and an F. That's what I got. I passed. Mr. Ferguson wasn't going to have me back. You know, but most of the subjects I did get A's or B's in. And I didn't take books home. I found out if I paid attention in class and if I took good notes and I did my homework in study hall, I didn't have to take. That's why they had lockers, was to throw your books in when the last bell rung, because I wasn't going to school at home. I just left school. I ain't taking it home with me. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's good advice. I'm just telling you what I did. But I found out if I paid attention in class and if I took good notes, because when I write stuff down, it sticks up here, it seems like, more when I'm looking at it and write it down. And then I did my homework in study hall so I wouldn't have to take it home and do it. So in high school, she said, he always got straight A's and he never took a book home. Well, that was had some truth to it. And so I thought, I was reading this sometime, I don't know, a long time ago, in chapter 15, and I thought about straight A's spiritually, biblically speaking. And God gave me 4 words that start with the letter A that will help us to make good grades in life spiritually and help us to apply the wisdom that God gives. And these are important subjects that I'm getting ready to tell you about. And we need to grade ourselves from time to time to see how we're doing in these things in life that might help us to help someone else. The first one, the first letter A, is found in verse 1 of chapter 15, there in the first few words where it says, a soft what? Answer. That's the first A. That's the first subject. That's the first thing I want to look at tonight. A soft answer does what? Turneth away wrath. A soft answer. What is an answer? When you give somebody an answer, when somebody asks you a question, when somebody asks you what you think, that could be dangerous, couldn't it? What do you think about this? And sometimes I think, what difference does it make what I think? Because a lot of times, you know the reason a lot of people ask you that question, what do you think? Because they just want you to agree with them. They just want your approval. They want to make themselves feel better about what they have already determined. They've already made their mind up about the subject or the situation, but they just want somebody to agree with them that kind of will verify what they were thinking so that they can go and do what it is that they're going to do anyway, no matter what you say or what your answer is. But people will ask you a question, or they'll say, what do you think? Sometimes I don't have an opinion. Sometimes I don't have an answer. And you know what I do? I say, I don't know. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying I don't know.
That's right.
Amen. There's a lot of biblical questions people ask me. There's some of them, I don't know. I don't know. And I just tell them I don't know. Rather than just try to act like I'm smarter than I am. And that wouldn't take a whole lot. But hey, an answer is a response that you give to a question, or it's a perceived solution that you give to someone who is seeking help. But hey, we need to be careful about our answers, don't we? Because a soft answer turneth away wrath. But look at the flip side of that. But grievous words stir up anger. It matters what our answer is in this day in which we live. Amen? Hey, it matters the way that we, it even matters about the tone of our voice.
Yes, sir.
In the way we answer certain questions or the way we communicate. I think about it often and I don't always get it right. I don't always have the tact that I should. I try to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. Sometimes I know, I realize, I say stuff when in my sermons and I say stuff in my preaching that offends somebody, but I never intend for it to be that way. I don't intentionally get up in the pulpit and try to offend people or try to make people mad or whatever. No, I want to help people. I want to encourage people. I don't always do that. Sometimes my flesh gets in the way. But it's like I told the church that I pastored. I said, I know I hadn't always got it right. I know that I've made mistakes. And sometimes I've said the wrong thing. But I promise you, I have never intentionally said one thing to try to hurt a church or the pastor of a church or the people of the church. I've done it through ignorance. I didn't know better. And I had to learn. But hey, we need to be careful about the answer. I heard somebody say one time, if we would think twice in this world, we'd be way ahead of most people. Because a lot of people don't think before they speak. They just blurt it out. And that don't always work. And so our answer, how are we doing with this subject in our life? Are we getting a straight A on answer? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Look, if you would, in verse 23, the same chapter. It says, a man hath joy by what? The answer of his mouth. Look at this. A word spoken in due season, how good it is, or how good is it? A word spoken in due season. In other words, the right answer. I was speaking at a Christian school a while back, and it was a small school, had about 20 kids, I guess, and I was just joking around with them, you know, trying to keep them interested in what I was saying, but hoping they'd remember something. You'd be surprised how much they remember, by the way. When you think they ain't listening, they're listening. My wife taught what age group was that? Probably 5, 6, 7 year olds, her and Sister Jewel in Sunday school. I used to go around in Sunday school and visit all the classes, the little kids, and say, hey, you know, get them stirred up and then leave. So they'd have to get them calmed back down. Miss Jewel and Miss Pam. I stuck my head in there one day. This little boy named Hunter, he was wild as a jackrabbit. I mean, he was fired up. And I looked in there and he had his shirt off. He's about 5 years old. And Miss Jewel, she, bless her heart, she's such a sweet lady. She said, Brother Randy, I can't get him to get his shirt back on. I mean, she got so tickled. She could. I said, well, just see if you get it back on before preaching. You know, so when he comes upstairs, he'll have his shirt on. But I used to go around in there and pick on these kids. And like I said, kids will keep you young. But hey, we need to be careful about that, because though they would teach those kids, and they would be amazed. They would be playing and being rowdy and misbehaving, and you wouldn't think they's listening. And then they would have a question time after the, and you know what? They could answer every one of them. They could get every, they heard everything you said. That's why you got to be careful about your answers. I remember one time my mom was in the hospital on her deathbed. She died just a couple of days after this. But there, my sister, my brother, Pam, we were all in the room, you know, and they had her on morphine, and she was kind of in and out, you know, and we were just reminiscing and talking about the times that we had and all this, and Mom's laying there with her eyes closed, and we talked about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, she said, I just want y'all to know I'm hearing every word y'all say. I don't think we said anything out of the way. But we have to be careful with our answers. Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening. But hey, we ought to try to give the right answer. That word that's spoken in due season. Oh, that's a good word, amen. But if we're not careful, we might answer hastily without any thought, and it might not be the right answer. Hey, look down, if you would, in verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You know what? Sometimes there is no answer. It's like I said already, you just say, I don't know. No way. It's like a pastor of mine told me one time, we were talking about making decisions, and he said this. He said, no decision is better than a bad decision. I ain't never forgot that. No decision is better than a bad decision. Not getting married at all is a lot better than marrying the wrong person. Amen. That's right. It's like my dad told a lady one time, there's a lot worse things in this life than being lonely. Being lonely is bad. That's a hard thing. I can't imagine trying to cope with that. But there's a lot worse things in life than being lonely. One of them being married to a jerk. That's right. Yeah. Be it man or woman. Yeah. So we have to be careful, don't we? But the heart of the righteous studies the answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out. Sometimes there's no answer. And we need to remember that. And so we need to be careful about this first day, about our answer in life. And we need to try to make sure that we think about what we say and we think about things before we answer them. And I try to do that with Pam sometimes when she has, my daughter, she'll call me. She's 40-some years old. And she'll call me and ask me, she said, Daddy, I want to ask you a question about the Bible. You know, my fleshly part wants to, you know, swell up. And the moment she asks me, I can just spew out all of this scripture, spew out all of the right words. But that's not always the case. Because you know what? Sometimes, Brother White, I don't know. She called the other day and asked me a question. I mean, maybe she can come up with some questions. I mean, some stuff that I never thought of. And you know what I'll tell her sometime? I had to get back to you. I had to get back to you on that. I got to do some studying on that. I ain't never thought about that myself. I gotta get back to you. I'm not going to just spew out something just to be saying something and lead her down the wrong path. And so we have to be careful that sometimes we don't give an answer at all, or that our answer is delayed, where it says, we studyeth to give our answer. So be careful about our answers. Hey, be careful about our tone sometimes too, like I said already. You know, I can preach the same message with two different tones, and one way it'll be received and another way it will not. Brother Lewis Lawson at Waverly, Brother Lewis can shell the corn and skin your hide, tack it to the wall and dry it out. Y'all, you say, what does that mean? He can get rough sometimes. And he preached a message once some service, and man, one of his members came and just raked him over the coals after the service on the way out the door. I had a lady one time come by and said, I love your preaching. I go to sleep every night listening to it. Oh, good. Good for something. But this rake, I mean, this Brother Lewis had preached his heart out, and he got raked over the coals. Well, Dad comes in a revival meeting a few weeks after that and preaches basically the same message. Now, my daddy didn't sugarcoat it either, by the way. But Brother Lewis and Daddy was out at the door shaking hands as they were leaving, and this lady come by and said, Brother Wall, that's about the best message I've ever heard in my life. She probably just did it to goad Brother Lewis. Knowing that she had just raked him over the coals for that fact. And Brother Lewis looked at Daddy and said, now how did that just happen? I preached that same message all, and I got raked over the coals. And man, she's shaking your hand telling you how good it is. Well, I'm not saying my daddy presented it any better than Brother Lewis. I'm not saying that his tone was any different than us, but sometimes it does make a difference as to how we present things. And I'm not saying that you compromise or any of this. I'm just saying it matters how we present things to other people as to whether or not it's going to be received. I can tell Miss Pam. I said, woman, get in there in the kitchen, make me some peanut butter and crackers and a glass of milk and have them in here in the next minute. Well, me and you's going to have a problem. I can say that and get no results. Or I can say, honey, I sure would like to have some peanut butter and crackers and a glass of milk. You think you might could fix me some? Sometimes I'll be, there's one good thing I like about smartphones, the texting, because I'll be sitting in my recliner and I don't want to get up. And she's in the other room. And I don't even want to holler in there. One time I was sitting in my recliner, I made a video. I said, I ain't got no coffee. I need some coffee. And I sent it to her. And she's just sitting back from here to Brother Ed. In a minute, she comes in there where I'm sitting in my recliner and said, do you need some coffee? And I got some coffee. You see, it matters as to how you make a request or present your answer as to whether it's going to be accepted or not. So be careful about your answer. Number two, not only our answer, but over in verse 13 and 15, how about this? We need a straight A in this, our attitude. I told you maybe Tuesday night that I woke up with an attitude that morning. My attitude wasn't what it should. But look at verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Have you ever got up in the morning and been in a mad mood? You need to do this. If you get up in a bad mood in the morning, I want you to go look in the mirror the first thing and see what your face looks like. And then I want you to smile. Your face looks so much better. I am so prettier. I'm so much prettier with a smile in the mornings before I brush my teeth and comb my hair. And sometimes I know I'm crazy, but I'll just be kind of having a bad day, Brother Ronnie, and my attitude ain't right. And I'll just go in the bathroom there, and I'll just go. I do that. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to change my attitude. case y'all missed it, I was going like this. On the front row, it didn't work. But it's like, I'm trying to cheer myself up. I'm trying to change my, I'm trying to get from a bad attitude to a good attitude. And it don't usually work, you're right, Brother Cole, but sometimes it does work. I'm thinking, man, it's a lot easier to smile than it is to be just walking around with a bad attitude, amen? And just letting that attitude affect everybody else. What is an attitude? It's a mental position or an emotional response. A mental position or an emotional response. And he says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart, look at this, hath a continual feast. You will be affected by circumstances around you, but a merry heart will be a lot less affected than a sad countenance, or down in the dumps all the time. Or somebody that's just, they don't have a positive word to say. They're just negative about everything. And it'll just drag you down. So we need to be careful. What kind of attitude did we come to church with tonight? I know you're tired physically. I realize that. I get tired sometimes. And we all do. And we're not everything. Hey, I didn't want to hear all that I heard before I come out here tonight and preach the word of God and all, but sometimes those things happen. But you know what? What matter? What was I going to do with it? No, hey, I didn't know Brother Steve was bringing my dad's Bible back tonight. But God did. You know who can change your attitude better than anybody? God Almighty sitting on the throne, amen. He knows how to put people and things in your way that can put a merry heart in you and give you a happy, cheerful countenance. And that's one good thing about coming to the house of God, amen, is that we can encourage one another and put a smile for one another and be cheerful for one another and talk about good things for one another. Our attitude, it matters a lot because it affects everybody around us. It says a merry heart. A merry heart. So we need to be careful. We need to work on our attitude. I need to work on my attitude. But then there's another one that we need to work on. It's down in verse 18. And this one I can say, oh me, our anger. Do y'all think Christians get angry? Yeah. We do.
Sorry.
We do. Verse 18, it says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. In other words, it don't throw gasoline on the fire. It puts the fire out or lessens it. Even if you can't put it all the way out, if we're not careful in our anger, you know what we'll do? We'll throw gasoline on the fire. Do you know in marriage, once in a while you're going to have an argument? Anybody found that out yet? Did you know somebody has to diffuse that situation?
Yes, sir.
Somebody has to put some, not accelerant, but retardant on that fire. Somebody in that marriage has got to be the fire extinguisher, because the other one's flaming, right? And so you can either diffuse a situation, or you can come in there and throw gasoline on it and just watch it burn, baby, burn, right? But our anger, you know, and it's hard to do sometimes. There's sometimes when Pam and I might have a disagreement. And it's like, you know what my flesh wants to do? Most of the time, the same things your flesh wants to do. It wants to, I can't think of the word. I'm kind of like that lizard on Geico. What's the word? No flesh, it wants to kind of elevate things, you know. Lash out. Lash out, that's good. It wants to lash back. But if I'll stop, first point, first grade, and consider my answer, hello, And if the Holy Spirit of God, if I can let Him work in me, I can diffuse that situation. I can say, well, hon, I'm wrong. I know. And not sarcastically. You know, because if you're not careful, you'll get sarcastic. Yeah, I know. You're always right about everything. You know, that ain't what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. All right. Don't worry about it. I forgot you're always right. I forgot I married a genius. Psychologists, psychiatrists, all wrapped up into one. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I see some of y'all have done that. Tell by the look on your faces. But that ain't what I'm talking, it's not the kind of diffusion I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and you can only do it through the love of Christ. And your love for her through Christ, or her love for me through Christ. When it don't, you know what? There comes a point in marriage sometimes, and in life, friendships, or whatever, it don't really matter. And in certain things, it don't matter who's right. It ain't worth it. Amen? It don't matter who's right.
Amen.
What difference does it make about futile things in life, or things that don't even matter? No, just say, all right, fine, whatever. Just diffuse that anger. The wrathful man don't want to do that. He wants to stir up that strife. But man, if we'll be slow to anger, we will appease strife, or we will pacify. We'll put that fire out. And the end result will be a lot better. But anger, it's a feeling of displeasure or hostility. We can do that out here publicly in life, can't we? Boy, there's a lot of times. You ever heard the old term, I have to bite your tongue in certain situations? There's been times when I haven't bitten my tongue in public. I mean, I'm not cursing or something like that. There's been times when I've said things that wasn't becoming of a Christian. You know, I didn't handle the situation just right. I've told you the story about the woman buying the oranges and fussing at the little girl, and I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, lady, if you'll just shut up, I'll pay for the orange. If you'll just go on. I was hoping she didn't turn around as somebody I went to church with. Right? Like one preacher friend, he was late for a meeting and he was driving like a maniac and tailgating people and speeding and all of that. He told his wife, said, get that Bible off the dash. I don't want nobody to know we're Christians. Sometimes you feel like doing that, you know. One time we were going to a church, I don't know if you remember it. I won't name the church, some of y'all might know where it's at. But we were late, and we were running late, and man, I was tailgating this person, and I was in a hurry, you know, and they probably couldn't even see my headlight. And after I did that for a little while, I'm thinking, Lord, I hope they don't turn in that church and see me get out of the car. I said, oh, you're the preacher. You know, after I was driving the way I was driving, I'm just saying, hey, no, we have to watch our anger. We have to watch our displeasure. We have to watch our hostility. You even have to watch it in church. When I was pastoring, I came in one night, the same lady, Miss Jewel, that she taught Sunday school with, she came running up to me and said, Brother Randy, come here, hurry. Come here quick. Come over here. I thought, man, somebody's having a heart attack. We need to call them. I go around the corner, and two men are getting ready to get in the fist fight in the hallway of the church. You know what it all started over? Because one of them's daughter got left off the birthday list on the calendar for that month. That's important, ain't it? And I mean, they were getting, I had to physically get in between them and push them apart. And I was being a little sarcastic. I said, look, if y'all going to fight, take it outside. I don't want no blood on the carpet. No. I said, fellas, what is wrong with y'all? This is God's house. You going to fight in God's house? Crazy. Made no sense. But hey, it don't just happen at Walmart or at the gas station or at home or whatever. It can happen right here at Pioneer Baptist Church. Where anger overcomes. We need to diffuse those situations. Slow to anger. We need an A in that, don't we? We need an A. And I got one more and we're done. Over in verse number 31. This is important. Not only our answer in life, our attitude, our anger, but I call this our abiding. In verse 31 of this chapter. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth where? Among the wise. Did you know who you hang around matters? Young people, listen. Young people especially, listen to me. It's very important who your friends are.
Yes, it is.
It's very important who you hang around. Mm-hmm. It's very important who you abide with. Adults, it's very important who our friends are. It's very important who that we hang out with. It's very important who that we associate with.
Amen.
And who our friends are. Because we need to abide among the wise. To abide means to dwell or to remain. I'll close with this. I'll give you a personal illustration. I won't tell you his name. Probably used it here before. But there was a man when I was pastoring in our community that got saved. He was a cocaine addict and an alcoholic. I really believe he got saved. I really do. He came to church faithfully. Whole life changed. Was a great witness. But he kept going to the pool hall. And I'd tell him, I said, look, you don't need to be going down there to the pool hall. He said, well, preacher, all I'm doing down there is witnessing. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing this, that, or other. I said, that's fine. You can go to their house and witness. He said, I'm not participating. And I said, called his name. I said, you do not need to subject yourself to that temptation. When I got saved, I was working at the prison. Prison guards were some of the most wicked men, sinful men that had no morals. No values. I'm talking about every one of them. I'm not saying they're all like that, but these were. And even though I knew the gospel, I knew the word, I knew all this, I was still a young Christian. My flesh was still flesh. And you know what I did? I quit my job. You know why? I did not want to subject myself to that same temptation. And about a week or 2 weeks after I got saved, I wrote my letter of resignation, turned it into my captain. He said, I'll give you whatever shift you want if you'll just stay. I was working third shift. He said, I'll put you on first shift next week. I said, I can't. They had a Christmas party every year. I got saved in November. They had a Christmas party for the guards and their wives every year in December. He said, you coming to the Christmas party? I said, nope.
Amen.
Not going to subject myself to that. My uncle, that was my best buddy, my drinking buddy. I got saved. We went and played golf one day. He said, what's this I hear about you getting saved? I said, it's not just hearsay. I got saved. I got born again. He said, well, I got a half of a half a gallon of liquor under the seat. He said, let's get drunk one more time for old time's sake. I said, I don't want to. I had no desire to do that. And he said, well, that ain't the Randy Wall I know. Boy, was he right.
Amen, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
No. He knew the old Randy Wall. That excites my heart. Because if I hadn't got saved, where would I be? And I looked at him, I called his name, I said, you're right. That ain't the Randy Wall you know. I said, I'm a new man.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect. But I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. And we're still friends. I don't hang around him, though. We won't have anything in common. You know who I have something in common with?
Yes, sir.
Y'all. Amen. You know why I like to hang around y'all? Because y'all like faith. Y'all don't try to tear me down. Y'all don't try to subject me to temptation. You try to build me up, amen. Edify.
lift me up. Bring us cookies and candy and give us them pictures. No, it's a lot deeper than that. Hey, young people, be careful who you hang around with. One of these days, you might be out from under your mom and daddy's roof. You won't have their direction anymore. That's why it's important as to the friendships that you make. Hey, Pioneer Baptist Church members, be careful who you hang around.
Amen.
It makes a difference. Abide in the presence of the godly as far as wisdom goes. Let's make some straight A's, right? Let's get these A's right. Let's work on them. Let's at least get a B plus, right? Or A minus on all of these things, our anger, our attitude, so forth.